And this is Rabbi Lauren Jacobs, and along with me is
Rabbi Glenn Harris.
We are the rabbis of Congregation Shema Yisrael, which is a Messianic Jewish congregation in Bloomfield Hills. And this is our first show. And the name of our new show is
Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Jesus Made Me Kosher. Now, Rabbi Glenn, a lot of people don't understand how Jesus has anything to do with being kosher, which is something very Jewish, to be kosher. What does it mean to be kosher?
Well, to be kosher means to be fit, to be acceptable, to be proper. And what we mean by that is that Jesus is the one who has brought us into a right relationship, made us to be fit, clean, acceptable in the sight of our God. So hence the name of the show, Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Jesus Made Me Kosher. Is this something that only Jewish people can say?
Oh, of course not. Absolutely not. In fact, Rabbi Lauren, our theme verse, and you know our listeners are going to hear this pretty much every time you tune into the show, is Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So Jesus made me kosher. Rabbi Lauren, he made you kosher. And if you're listening, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, if you are a follower of Jesus, he has made you kosher before God.
I like that, Rabbi Glenn. Tell us how Jesus made you kosher.
Well, actually, this year was my 30th anniversary in the Lord. It was March of 1981. A friend invited me to go to church. And, you know, I had been through kind of a lot in the way of New Age and stuff like that. And yeah, I got to be honest, I just found it wanting. It wasn't answering my major questions about life. And so this friend invited me to go to church, and, you know, I'm a nice Jewish boy. Well, I'm a Jewish boy anyway. I somehow instinctively knew that I'm not supposed to go to a church, and yet I was always claiming to be open-minded. And so really I felt like if I'm going to be open-minded or at least make the pretense of it, I should accept that invitation. So I sort of reluctantly agreed to go to church. It was, I think, a Friday night. They had a music group come out and do some nice music. And then somebody came out and gave a message. And the message was, if you wanted to have a relationship with the living God, the Creator, Jesus was his terms. And even though I didn't know the half of what any of that would mean in the long term, and I hadn't read the Bible, somehow I just knew that what I was hearing was the absolute truth. And deep in my conscience, I knew that Jesus really had always been the one. And though even though as a Jewish person, I was taught from my youth that, you know, we don't believe in him. He's not for us. He's for them meaning Gentiles. In that moment, I just knew in my conscience that Jesus really was the one. And so that very night, right then and there, and I had had no intention of doing this, but I put my trust in Jesus. Now, it was 30 years ago March, and, you know, the beauty of it, Rabbi Lauren, is that over the years, through studying the Scripture and through God's faithfulness in my life, day by day, year by year, it's been proven true to me again and again and again. So that's kind of my story. I kind of needed a spiritual two-by-four over the head, and I got it. And everything since then has backed up the fact that not only did I make a right decision, but I made a Jewish decision that night.
So you've grown in your identity as a Christian, as a follower of the Christ, the Messiah, but you've also grown in your Jewish identity and awareness.
Yes. In fact, I would have told you that I didn't even appreciate my Jewishness nearly as much before I came to have this living relationship with the Lord that I do now. Now I understand why he put me where he put me and what my heritage is and the beauty of all that.
Now you understand what it means to be part of the chosen people and what we as Jewish people were chosen for. And now you have a new appreciation for the Word of God, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament scriptures, and the Jewishness of Jesus and the Jewishness of the apostles and the Jewishness of the New Testament.
Yeah, in fact, I knew I was making a right decision. What I didn't know and couldn't have known at that point was that everything in our Jewish scriptures and the prophets in the Torah, everything that Moses wrote, affirmed the decision I made. And that, you know, I can't take any credit for a scholarly approach. It's just that God led and guided me into the right and proper decision, which was really the fulfillment of my Jewishness. And the same is true for you. I'd like to hear your story.
Well, Jesus also made me kosher. I grew up in a Jewish family in the Chicago area, the eldest of three. And when I was a boy, I was sent to synagogue to learn about my Jewish culture and heritage and prepare for becoming a bar mitzvah. And I learned Hebrew, and I learned about some Jewish holidays and customs and traditions. But actually, I learned very little about God and how to have a personal relationship with God. That was never talked about in my synagogue upbringing. And we never talked about heaven or hell. And so I left synagogue when I was about 15 with these big questions unanswered. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? When I die, is that all that there is? I went on to college. I was a young philosophy major at Northwestern University. And my freshman year there, I saw posters going up around campus about end-time Bible prophecy. And I was interested in the future, and I decided to go. And the speaker turned out to be a Christian who gave a great presentation on how these ancient prophecies in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and also the New Testament seemed to be lining up in the last half of the 20th century. Prophecies like the dispersion of the Jewish people to all the nations of the world, but our regathering to our ancient homeland, and other prophecies. And even though I went to synagogue, Rabbi Glenn, I didn't know anything about Bible prophecies. I didn't know anything about a Messiah or the Messiah. I went out the next day and I bought a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, more on these prophecies. And there was also prophecies about the first coming of the Messiah, amazing prophecies like Isaiah 53. And over the next week, I read The Late Great Planet Earth, and I read the entire New Testament from Matthew through Revelation, read some of these amazing messianic prophecies like Isaiah 53. And, you know, within a 10-day time frame after seeing that lecture, I just knew that Jesus, Yeshua, really was the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world. I was born again. I was spiritually transformed. I just saw the whole world through new eyes. And since that time, God has led me into, Messianic Jewish ministry. I've grown in my identity as a Christian, as a follower of Messiah, but also in my Jewish awareness. It's all, come together for me. So I can really say that Jesus made me kosher.
So here we are, two nice Jewish boys. And what we have in common is the fact that both of us, in different locations at different times, but through one and the same God, came to the inescapable conclusion, the right conclusion, that Jesus really is the Messiah. He's the one who makes us kosher before God. And that's as true for Jewish people as for non-Jews.
And he's fulfilled us as Jews. He's completed us as Jews, sometimes Messianic Jews, Jews for Jesus, Christian Jews, Hebrew Christians. Sometimes we go by complete, we're called completed Jews or fulfilled Jews.
And sometimes we're called things we can't repeat on air.
Which is also true. But he really has completed our identity as Jewish people, which is, of course, what the Messiah came to do. And we're not the only ones. A lot of people forget, the history of Christianity. Tell us, Rabbi Glenn, the Jewish roots, the Jewish history of what we call Christianity today.
Yeah, it's true, Rabbi Lauren. Jesus, of course, was Jewish. He came. He claimed to be the Jewish Messiah. He didn't come to the Vatican. He didn't come to Italy. He came to Israel. As the prophet Isaiah said, he lived and dwelt much of the time in the Galilee region. Isaiah chapter 9 speaks of that. But then And all of his first followers were all Jewish. These were Jewish men. The Gospels were written by Jewish people, for Jewish people, about Jewish people. The whole thing is Jewish through and through. In fact, if we want to really understand the New Testament the right way, the best way to understand it is to do our homework and see it through the Jewish eyes that it was written. And so this movement started out as a very Jewish movement. What you find in the book of Acts is that actually they had to be nudged about this, kind of goaded that, hey, wait a minute, this isn't just for Jewish people. And so beginning with Peter's vision as he sat on that rooftop, and then God calling him to Cornelius's home, the gospel was made available now to Gentiles, men and women from every nation under the sun. And so initially the idea was, well, of course, Jews for Jesus, but Gentiles for Jesus? Come on. And God made clear that he wanted us to become one new man, Jews and Gentiles together, following the Messiah. And the movement was thoroughly Jewish through and through. You see that in Acts. And continued on, it became more, I would say, Gentile in terms of its expression as the centuries went on, simply by virtue of the fact that Jewish people are 0.1% of the earth's population. It was bound to be more Gentile in its expression over the years, but throughout time, Rabbi Lauren, all the way up to and including the 7th century, at which point the rise of Islam in some ways diminished the number of Jewish followers of Yeshua. Nevertheless, there has been across time and across every continent a remnant of Jewish people who did believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah and maintained their Jewish identity. And so what we have in the latter part of the 20th century was the, well, really, you could even argue that the latter part of the 19th century in Eastern Europe, this great movement of more and more Jewish people coming to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The Holocaust really, the atrocity of it all kind of curtailed that for a time. But even in spite of that, there were a number of messianic Jewish pastors across Europe, even in the time of Hitler. But really, in the modern time, the early 1970s, the Jesus movement saw a huge reemergence of Jewish people coming to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. So there's always been that remnant all across time.
And you and I are the spiritual leaders, the Messianic rabbis of Congregation Shema Yisrael, which meets in Bloomfield Hills. We call it a Messianic Jewish congregation, but it's really a congregation for Jews and Gentiles. We really want to reflect this one new man, this one new humanity made up of Jews and Gentiles. Jews who remain Jews and Gentiles who remain Gentiles. That's really important to us.
Yep.
That Messianic Jews don't give up their, you know, Jewish identity and culture, and that Gentiles don't need to become Jews to follow and serve the God of Israel. And so we meet, you know, Saturday mornings, not Sunday mornings. We follow the Jewish culture and tradition. So we'll meet Saturday mornings at 10:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. We continue other aspects of Jewish culture, like the Jewish holidays. In fact, the fall holidays are coming up shortly.
Yes, very soon. In fact, I'm sure we'll be talking more about it on the shows upcoming, that the Jewish high holidays, beginning with the Feast of Trumpets, or what is more commonly called Rosh Hashanah, which translates the head of the year, the beginning of the year. It really isn't the beginning of the year, biblically speaking, but very significant holidays, these three. And the first one is going to actually begin Wednesday evening, September 28th. And Rabbi Lauren, I know you and I want to invite anybody and everybody who desires to learn more about the Feast of Trumpets and how it is a prophecy of the second coming of the Messiah would be more than welcome to join us. We're going to be having that service at 7:30 that evening.
Yes, that's Wednesday evening, September 28th, and followed by a day service, Thursday the 29th, and then 10 days later, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And then we also build and decorate the sukkah, the tabernacle, for the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, and celebrate Sukkot, which is a fun, joyous holiday. That's the kind of things that we're going to talk about on our show, things like the Jewish holidays and their Christian significance, this idea of one new man, the relationship of Jews and Gentiles coming together in the community of Messiah, the prophecies that point to Messiah, things like replacement theology. Tell us briefly, Rabbi Glenn, just a little bit about replacement theology.
Well, there are some theologians, including some very prominent theologians, who actually believe, in spite of the clear teaching of Romans chapter 11, that God is essentially done with Israel. Israel has no particular future or any special part in God's plans, either as a nation or as a people, and nothing could be farther from the truth. Nevertheless, some people still ascribe to that. And we want to combat that. We want to get back to what does the scripture say? Instead of what does this system say, what does that system say, instead of being beholden to a particular school of thought, we want to be biblicists. And so one of the things we're going to do on this show, Jesus Made Me Kosher, is we're going to come back again and again to the scriptures and look at what the scriptures have to say and then apply it. How is this important? How do we apply it in our lives? But, you know, Rabbi Lauren, we're also going to do very practical things for our audience. We're going to talk about how can you share your faith with Jewish people in an effective, in a powerful way? And what are some of the things, you know, to watch out for? What are some of the things to be encouraged by? We can talk about even the statistics that show that more and more Jewish people in our own day across the world are coming to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So there's a whole lot that we're going to be covering. Prophecy. We're going to be hearing from people sharing their stories of how they came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. People from all different backgrounds, some from an Orthodox Jewish background, some from a Reform conservative background, but just all kinds of different stories. We want people to be encouraged, A, to share their faith with their Jewish friends. If you are Jewish and you're listening to this broadcast, we want you to be encouraged that you can believe in Jesus and be as Jewish or more than ever. So there's just a whole lot that we're going to have to offer people.
I want to bring back the idea of Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the good news, this message of salvation about Messiah. It's the power of God to save people from Satan, sin, and death. And it has a God-given priority, Rabbi Glenn. Paul went on to say this powerful message of salvation is to go to the Jewish people first.
Absolutely. That's consistent with what Jesus himself said just before he ascended back to heaven. He said, you're to be my witnesses beginning in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And, you know, if Yeshua didn't think that Jewish people needed to believe in him, why would he have the entire evangelistic mission begin in Jerusalem? So clearly it's a very Jewish thing.
And I think we're going to talk about that tomorrow, how to witness to Jewish people, what things to emphasize, what things to not emphasize. So, of course, we hope that people will tune in tomorrow to Jesus Made Me Kosher, 3:30 to 4 o'clock. So again, what does it mean, Rabbi Glenn, Jesus made me kosher?
To be kosher, again, this means to be made acceptable before God. God has standards. And we dare not live in ignorance or dismissal of those standards. God says, this is acceptable, this is not. These are my terms to be in a right relationship with me. And so Jesus is the one who put us in a right relationship with God. And he did it at great personal cost. Jesus died as a Lamb of God, as the Lamb of God. His blood is what made atonement for our sins. And without that shedding of blood, there is no atonement. That's as much out of the Torah, Leviticus 17, as it is out of the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, Hebrews chapter 9. So Jesus is the one who, through his perfect life, his perfect obedience to the law, the Torah, and through his sacrificial death, has enabled us to enter this Brit Chadashah, this New Covenant, which brings us into a right relationship with God. And it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. He makes us kosher. He's the one who has brought us into that right relationship with God.
Can a human being, Jew or Gentile, even like an Orthodox Jew, can they be truly kosher apart from Yeshua, the Messiah?
Well, not according to Yeshua. In John chapter 14, Yeshua said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And he didn't say no one except for, you know, well-meaning Orthodox Jewish people who are really sincere. No, there was no escape clause. There was no caveat. No one comes to the Father but through me. So whether you're Jewish or Gentile, he is God's terms for kashrut, to be right with God.
So he's the only way to truly be kosher in its greatest sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Rabbi Lauren.
Yeah, I'm reminded of, you know, some of the apostles standing before the Sanhedrin, Israel's high council. You know, these were Israel's spiritual leaders and political leaders, the great rabbis and sages among them. And I think it was Peter and John who, Peter being the spokesman, who said, you know, there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. In other words, Yeshua, Jesus, is the only way for you, and again, he's speaking to Israel's, you know, high priest, you know, supreme religious authority, rabbis, the political leaders of the nation of Israel. There's no other way for any human being to get right with God. And if that was true for the Sanhedrin, Rabbi Glenn, you know, what about the rest of the peoples of the world?
How much more for everybody? And, you know, some people, Rabbi Lauren, think that that is really exclusivist. How can you say that? It's like you're excluding everybody only through, you're saying only through Jesus. Well, first of all, it was he who said it. But secondly, it's inclusive. Everybody's invited. Jewish people, non-Jewish people, young, old, just wherever you are. It's not an excluding message. It's an inclusive message. But we do need to come to God on his terms. And Rabbi Lauren, as we're going to find out in the weeks and months ahead, there were even great rabbis from across the world who, over time, in centuries past, became believers. They were convinced that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. So do tune in day by day, because you're going to hear great stories about real men and women who put their trust in him, some at great personal cost, because they considered the truth to be more important than anything else.
Rabbi Glenn, I know that one of the things that the Spirit of God has been doing in our days is, you know, he's been reestablishing the nation of Israel, I believe, in fulfillment of, you know, his word and these prophecies. The Messianic Jewish movement is now growing all over the world, which I think is another sign of the times when more and more Jewish people are returning to the land of Israel, but also to the God of Israel. He's raising up Messianic congregations. We're finding more and more kosher-hearted Gentiles, Gentile Christian brothers and sisters who want to learn more about the Jewish roots of the Christian faith and what does it mean, this one new man, this new humanity made up of Jews and Gentiles. These are the kind of people that we would love to interact with and hear people call on the telephone when we open up the phone, and also to visit our congregation. We happen to meet on Saturday mornings. Most Christians don't, you know, go to church on Saturday mornings. So, you know, I want the listening audience of WLQV to know that they are welcome to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. A lot of you have Jewish friends and neighbors and coworkers that you love. Please tell them about our show. They should be listening in to Jesus Made Me Kosher Monday through Friday from 3:30 to 4. And also encourage them to maybe meet with Rabbi Glenn or myself, call and make an appointment, sit down, we'll have a cup of coffee and explain how Jesus can make them kosher.
And Rabbi Lauren, we certainly want people to check us out on the web. It's www.shema.com, because we've got some great articles, not to mention our service times and our special events such as the High Holidays. We really want to encourage people to participate with us.
And also, let's give out our phone number, Rabbi Glenn, where people can call and find out more information. That's 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. Call, find out more about our congregation, you know, how you can maybe meet with Rabbi Glenn or myself and introduce your Jewish friend or coworker or neighbor to us. That would be really terrific.
And let them know how Jesus can make them kosher as well.
Exactly. Well, I am looking forward to our show tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll again talk about, how to communicate the good news, which is a Jewish message to our Jewish people, to be able to communicate the Jewishness of Jesus, the Jewishness of the New Testament, the Jewishness of the apostles, and that Jews who believe in Jesus, Jews who are following the King of the Jews, that's the most Jewish thing that we could possibly do.
And it doesn't get any better than having eternal life. So again, we want to invite you back tomorrow to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150.